You are listening to the Statewide Conversation with Minnesota State Officials. Welcome back. It is your opportunity as a Minnesotan to ask questions about the state's response and plans during the current COVID-19 pandemic. I am Heidi Holt, and I'm live from KAXE Studios on the Mississippi River in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Thanks for tuning in today. If you didn't get a chance to send or call in your question, you can always email covid@ampers.org or call 612-562-9895. We are teaming up with the 18 community radio stations of Ampers, Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association to bring you COVID-19 information for the state of Minnesota. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan is back. Thanks for being with us. How was your week?
It was long, Heidi. It's still happening.
So. Yeah.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. You know, I wasn't quite feeling myself, so I did the at-home saliva test. I know you love the word saliva. It was quick. It was really easy, and I did not have COVID-19, but it really kind of gave me that good assurance of how easy it is to kind of find a test in the state.
That's great. I'm glad that process is easy for you. We're getting that feedback from other folks, too. So that's music to my ears.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about news this week. It was a big week in Minnesota with announcements from the governor and health officials about the vaccine. Lots of our questions have to do with the vaccine. So I'm hoping we can kind of drill down into these specifics that people have.
For sure.
We heard from Susie G. She had a bunch of questions. She said, how soon after getting it does the vaccine become effective?
So that's a great question. And we know that right now there's two vaccines that are available to us, one from Pfizer and one from Moderna. Both of those vaccines come in two doses. So to be fully protected by the vaccine, you need to think of two twos. So you're fully protected 2 weeks after you get your second dose. So usually the first dose is administered, and then 4 weeks later, you get the second dose. 2 weeks after that, you then will be protected. And so I just think that that's an important thing to keep in mind. It's not as soon as you get the first dose that you can run out there and, you know, be maskless and throw caution to the wind, right? But you have to be super intentional about how all that happens. So this is a very safe vaccine. And in fact, the number of the people who are tested in trials leading up to the FDA approval was the same or higher than what it typically is expected for any vaccine that is planning to be licensed. So I think that's a good development for Minnesotans. And just knowing that everyone has to be super patient as we try to distribute the vaccine to every Minnesotan who wants to take it.
She also wants to know, what's the deal with some people having allergic reactions to it?
So, like any medication that you would take, you know, we know that that is, you know, that that is an issue. But as you get into larger populations, we'll find, you know, that some folks will have a more serious reaction that can occur more rarely. Like an allergic reaction. But it's also important to point out that, you know, COVID-19 vaccines aren't for everyone. There may be people who, you know, where the vaccine is, you know, difficult for them to take due to specific health conditions and the type of vaccine available. We're fortunate, though, that there's going to be a variety of COVID-19 products so that we can determine, you know, for folks what the best kind of a vaccine is for them. But ultimately, you know, our hope is that there are very few people who cannot be vaccinated. And this is the same, you know, kind of with the flu as well, that, you know, the more of us take it, the more protection there are for those who may not be able to take it. But I think that's just something to keep in mind. But just very broadly, it is safe. And, you know, that's what folks should keep in mind. Of course, we will be continuing to monitor it, but you know, I feel confident. And Heidi, I think I've said this before, but I absolutely will take the vaccine as soon as it becomes available to me and sort of the line of priority.
Yeah, speaking of that, we heard from Doug from up north this week, and he said, I'm obese. I have high blood pressure. I'm over 60. That places me in an elevated risk category for COVID. When the available vaccine is being administered according to risk potential, do I have to see a physician? Do I have to pay for an office visit to be placed on a tiered need category to be eligible? Or will pharmacies be able to give the vaccine injection?
So thanks so much for the question. I think the broad answer is we don't know yet. But a lot of people, you know, of course, have health conditions that elevate their risk of becoming severely ill or even dying from COVID. So I am glad, Doug, that you are aware of the things that may put you at higher risk. So we're going to need to work with medical professionals to sort out who is most at risk so that those who are most at risk are immunized as soon as possible and then move out from there. We are relying on guidance from the Center for Disease Control that should be coming out next week. And the Minnesota Department of Health also has a member on that board that is making these recommendations. So I'm really grateful that as Minnesota, we have a seat at the table. From there, Minnesota has its own vaccine advisory committee of professionals who will fine-tune the federal recommendations to better meet our needs as a state. And then our plans to distribute the vaccination, the vaccine to these populations will also follow very specific guidance. So the short answer is we don't know yet, but also stay tuned because we will be giving that additional guidance as more vaccine becomes available and we determine who will receive the vaccination next. I will say in this very preliminary time of the vaccine, it is healthcare workers and individuals in long-term care facilities are the priority population in this moment. We have about 184,000 doses of the vaccine that will be coming to Minnesota this month, and those will be the first folks in line to be vaccinated, of course, based on the risk and of course, and the folks who care for those in these long-term care facilities.
Yeah, it's great news. It also, we also need to remember, we still need to be really vigilant about this. This doesn't just change overnight, what's going on in this pandemic.
That's correct. And I think that, to be really candid with you, Heidi, is one of my biggest fears, is that once, the people start to be vaccinated, that folks will let their guard down. We can vaccinate more people and have a greater impact if people continue to follow those public health guidelines. Because if you get COVID, you can't take the vaccine for 60 days after you've had COVID. So that just simply spreads out, right, the amount of time it's going to take to get people vaccinated as that infection rate goes up. So critically important, we keep up the masking, hand hygiene, and social distancing.
Well, it seems like it's always a good time to remind people to think about where they are getting their information from. I think we always talk about this, but Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok should not be your main sources of information. You should rely on leaders who rely on the scientists. One place I get solid scientific information from is Dr. Michael Osterholm and his podcast. He also makes me feel good. It's a great podcast. One of our listeners had this to say. They said that Dr. Osterholm had said on TV that we have two groups of people when it comes to vaccines, the early adopters who want it right away, but there are also people who are reluctant or hesitant to get that vaccine. What do you hear about these reluctant people? I think Osterholm said that this group might be 35 or 40% of the people. And will this prevent us from getting to herd immunity?
So I also am a Dr. Osterholm super fan, much like I am a Commissioner Jan Malcolm super fan. They have been just really important voices and leaders during this time. But in answer to your question, I think that the thing to remember about polls and surveys is that they are just a snapshot in time. I'm confident that Minnesotans see the vaccine roll out as they see the vaccine roll out and also learn more about its safety and that it works. They'll become more comfortable in order to get vaccinated. But it's our job to keep Minnesotans informed about its safety and to earn trust. And I would say specifically to earn trust in communities of color and immigrant communities and Native communities. As we know, based on just the trauma of historical events, the Tuskegee experiment, forced sterilization of Native women and immigrants, I think that our communities have every right to be wary. And so that is why it is critically important that we work in partnership with community, with credible messengers, and making sure that people are hearing from trusted sources, local community clinics where folks feel comfortable getting their care. Those partners are going to be so incredibly important to making sure that people feel comfortable getting the vaccine. And, you know, to the idea of herd immunity, you know, to stop COVID-19 and to stop the spread, about 70% of our population has to be immune. Immunity occurs through vaccination or through surviving COVID, although we are still not clear how long that immunity lasts for folks who have had the virus. But it appears that it wears off about 4 to 6 months afterwards. So even that group of people who've had it previously will need to be vaccinated. Attempting high immunity through disease comes with a severe price. And so that's why we want folks to get that vaccine. And we have an opportunity to gain immunity without such severe consequences by encouraging one another to get vaccinated when it becomes available.
One of the things I heard Dr. Osterholm say this week in his podcast was his concern for media coverage once the vaccines start rolling out, that the people who will be getting them are higher risk. And so, say somebody who, you know, is at a high risk for heart disease and may have a heart problem after they get the vaccine, it may be social media may report on that it caused this heart disease. And I wonder if you could kind of speak to that about this vigilance that we need to have as people.
That's right. And so that's why I feel an incredible weight of responsibility and ownership in making sure that we are consistently communicating about the vaccine well into, you know, the coming weeks and months so that folks have the information they need. Being as transparent as possible is going to be really critical, especially, Heidi, as you mentioned earlier, that people get their news from Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok, right? So that is a big part of our responsibility for myself and for the governor and community leaders, making sure that they're being responsible in sharing this message. But one thing that, you know, that I think it's important for that we're going to have to also communicate is that after you get the vaccine for a day or two, you're going to feel pretty cruddy. And that means that it's working. And so, you know, that's also going to be an important thing for us to message, is that, you know, when you get the COVID vaccination, you're not going to feel great for a few days. And that's okay. It shouldn't discourage anyone from getting the vaccine. Feeling cruddy for a few days is a small price to pay to ensure that you're protected and that the people you love and care about in your family and community are protected as well.
You're listening to a statewide conversation on COVID-19. It's with Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and it's made possible by Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota communities. You talked about the trauma that some communities have faced and that might make them wary of this vaccine. We heard from Kate from Minneapolis. She said, "What are you hearing from elders and other leaders about how soon Native people should get the vaccine? Are they wary of it or confident? And how do you see your role in helping Native people in our state get what they need and also be healthy and safe?"
So I appreciate that question. That's a big part of my role, just in general, right, is helping Native people to get what they need and feel healthy and safe. You know, we have been in consistent communication with our tribal leaders and with our urban Indian nonprofit leaders throughout the pandemic. And so, you know, we know that in the state, Native people are both members of sovereign tribal governments and residents of Minnesota. So we're going to continue working closely with tribes to offer whatever assistance they need. But they will also receive their own separate allocations of vaccine, and they will have the ability to distribute it to members as they see fit as leaders of sovereign governments. And so that is important for us to be able to support the tribes in getting the vaccine to the folks who need it. There's certainly skepticism toward the vaccine because of the complicated history in the United States between communities of color and Native communities and medical research and the government in general. So I just want to acknowledge that one more time. But we are working in partnership with community leaders to help instill confidence in the vaccine. We had a large conversation earlier this week. We've got our Community Resiliency and Recovery Advisory Group, which is almost 100 members across diverse communities. And one of the questions that was asked there is specifically from the Native community about feeling like, will there be a different class of vaccines for some folks in Minnesota than others? And you know, what I wanted said during that time was like, there's no blue light special vaccine, right? That the kind of vaccine that is coming to the state, you know, will be accessed across communities and people should feel confident about it. I don't want to be able to determine based on someone's zip code, race, identity, whether or not they have received the vaccine, right? It is part of our commitment also to equity and making sure that people have it. But, you know, for some folks, hearing that a tribal leader has taken the vaccine will give them peace of mind. But for others, it may be a respected elder in the community that they need to hear it from instead. And so there are sort of there are community leaders, in quotes, right, who maybe show up for the cheesecake snapshot and the ribbon cutting. And then there are the community leaders who are the trusted folks, you know, that people are going to in the community and know all the hot gossip in the neighborhood, but also, you know, are the people that families look to. And so it's just going to be important that we are communicating that effectively to all leaders. And that is part of my role in making sure that we're doing that, not just in the Native community, but across communities of color in the state.
Yeah, I think you're talking about those women that show up with the wild rice hot dish when you need them.
100%. It is absolutely the folks who who just know,
yeah.
Right? And those are the individuals that we're going to look to who can help model that for folks.
Well, we heard from Bob this week from Northern Minnesota. He said state parks have been and continue to be a lifeline for people desiring to get outside during the pandemic. Attendance is at an all-time high. Hiring restrictions due to COVID and now budget shortfalls have left many parks short-staffed, making it difficult to keep up with the demands of running a park. Does the administration have plans to address this?
So I have spent a lot of time in state parks over the last year with my family, and I hope that a lot of your listeners have too. You know, state parks provide great opportunities for us to be able to get outside and engage in recreation while also maintaining social distancing. Early on in the pandemic, I literally carried my daughter over a large stream, and I felt like She-Ra in that moment. So, like, some of our most positive memories during the pandemic have happened at state parks. You know, the administration is exploring budget proposals to address state parks operations, but part of the reason why folks might not see as many people working there is because they are also practicing social distancing, making sure that our park staff also remain safe. Some of the buildings are closed. You know, restrooms may be available, but it's not the full experience that folks are used to having because of those precautions that we're taking to keep, of course, Minnesotans safe, but also the folks who are working in these parks as well.
All right. Well, we had a question this week that came in from Brainerd. This person said, I've been very careful during the entire pandemic, but because of exposure to someone with the virus who was masked but in my home for longer than 15 minutes, I and my whole family contracted COVID. The good news is that we are all on the mend. We experience fever and body aches and coughing and sore throats and extreme exhaustion. But it's my natural inclination to continue on as I was before, masking at all times, staying isolated from other people, not planning Christmas with my family, even though I just had it and I'm no longer positive. Do you think I need to do this? What would you do in this situation, Lieutenant Governor?
Well, I appreciate that question. And I'm, you know, first and foremost, I'm sorry that you contracted COVID, especially when it, you know, feels like you're doing everything right. But I also want to just thank you for following good public health guidance and keeping, you know, the safety of your family and the greater Brainerd community in mind. But I think what this illustrates is that you can do everything right and still get COVID. So every interaction that we have with another person involves risk, but you've been committed to minimizing that risk as much as possible. Keep it up. That would be my advice. I know that it's hard to be away from the people that we care about, especially during the holiday season. But you're likely, you know, carrying some level of immunity right now, but it is still uncertain how effective that immunity is and how long it lasts and whether or not you can still transmit COVID to another person, even if you've had it. So continuing to wear a mask, maintain social distancing, it sends a message to others, too, that we are all in this together still. And I'm going to get vaccinated to show that it's safe to do, of course, but I am going to continue wearing a mask and social distancing until we have enough people who have been vaccinated. And then we'll have to figure out at that point, as we are learning more and more about COVID, if the COVID vaccine will be something that we can get once, right? Or is this something that becomes similar to our flu vaccination, where we need to get it annually to ensure that we have ongoing protection from COVID.
Let's give a shout out to my hometown of Brainerd for the 900 people that bought people other Dairy Queen this week to be kind to each other. That was fantastic, wasn't it?
It's so good. Well, number one, like, I'm a big fan of DQ, but like, number two, it is like so Minnesotan when it is chilly to still go to Dairy Queen and then pay it forward is like the most Minnesotan thing. I think that has happened this week, and I love it. Shout out to Brainerd. Good work, everybody.
Yeah, and I think people should think about doing that more and, you know, let us know, keep connected about that, because it really, just even hearing about that makes you feel good. And so if more of us can think of little ways to help the people in our lives or the someone you don't know be right behind you in the drive-thru, we should be doing that right now, I think.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, well, let's get to a question from a listener from Grand Rapids. They said, we are currently abiding by the current prohibition on social gatherings and restrictions, and a recent update to the approval of the Line 3 project was shocking, to say the least, that with this approval, around 4,000 workers, up to half of whom may be local, will be coming into the area to start the construction of the project. Several Minnesota Chippewa Tribe bands have expressed their dissension from the decision made by the PUC because of environmental impacts, but also because the workers and what that's going to mean for COVID in northern Minnesota. So their question has to do with the administration's response to the concern about COVID impacts to tribal communities and whether you will veto the PUC vote to protect the communities and affirm tribal sovereignty by acknowledging the tribal government's concerns.
So, you know, from the beginning, our administration has worked to fight the pandemic, to listening to what the science and the data tell us about the risk of COVID-19 spreading between people. You know, that's why we've required that businesses, including those in the construction industry, develop and implement COVID-19 preparedness plans that detail how they'll make sure that their employees and communities that they're operating in stay safe. These businesses must comply with other guidance that's been issued by the Department of Health and the Department of Labor and Industry. You know, it's it's been difficult, but throughout the entirety of the pandemic, construction work has continued across the state under these strict protocols, and we have sneakily not seen these sites become sources of significant workplace COVID-19 outbreaks. As construction continues on the Line 3 replacement project, Enbridge and all of its contractors and subcontractors will be required to follow these same requirements and industry guidelines. Additionally, individuals who work on the project, whether from Minnesota or not, are required to follow all state COVID-19 requirements when engaging with recreational and social activities outside of work hours, just as is expected from other residents and visitors across the state. Our Department of Health has been in close communication. It's my understanding they've been in close communication with Enbridge in recent weeks to make sure that they understand the COVID-19 safety requirements necessary to comply with the state industry's guidance. Enbridge, though its COVID-19 preparedness plan, will need to meet all requirements imposed by state or local officials to protect the health of their workers and surrounding communities. Of course, we will monitor it very closely. If individuals see that this particular construction project or any other construction project is violating those guidelines, they can call the Department of Labor and Industry and report those violations. And we would encourage people to do so. Heidi, this is a hard issue for me, if I can just be really candid with you. As many people know, I have not supported Line 3, and my position personally has not changed. So I would just also share that with your listeners.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Let's talk about this, you being candid like that, your role as a leader in our state and other leaders around the state. I know we take our role really seriously as a community broadcaster during this pandemic, and we really work on getting the facts out to people and being a model for healthy behaviors. We heard from someone this week who said, I've read too many stories about state leaders telling their constituents to stay home, but then they do dumb things like go on vacation or go to a fancy restaurant with lots of people. What is wrong with these people? Don't they understand how they undermine their own credibility? Do you ever just want to send another politician and leader a text saying, cut it out?
Yes. That's the short answer to the question. It can be super frustrating, right, to see leaders who don't follow their own public health guidelines, and I think we've all seen enough of that on social media. But I know that the governor and I have asked Minnesotans to do really difficult things so that we all can help keep each other safe. We take that responsibility incredibly seriously, and part of that is following the guidance that we have set in place. One of my lifelines has been, being able to take socially distanced walks with my best friend. We haven't done that during the last several weeks because that is not allowed by the guidelines that we've set out. And it's really hard. None of us is perfect, and not every decision that we've made is perfect. And COVID fatigue is so real. The last couple of weeks for me personally have been just really hard. So I know that it can be tempting to let our guard down just for a moment so that we can enjoy a meal or a visit from friends or go on vacation. I'm like, a vacation? What is that even? But right now we all have to dig deep and keep recommitting to keep each other safe, even when it's hard. But short answer, yes, I would like to send a text to be like, what are you doing? Get it together.
Yeah. Sort of the secret thing that happens here, after I talk to you on Fridays, we used to order takeout, and it's just a couple of us because we're being very safe here. And we sit very far apart and we're having our meal. But of course, you have your mask off while you're eating that meal, right. And we're talking. So we decided about 3 weeks ago now, we can't do this anymore, even though it was such a great end to our week. And hopefully we'll be able to do it again soon. But I get it that you're not able to walk with your friends and all that stuff, because it's tough to make these decisions right now.
Well, if you all can, you know, I know it's hard, but if you want to FaceTime while eating, which feels a little weird, but, you know, it's like there are still, you know, opportunities to share that meal virtually together.
Right.
But we will get back to where we need to be. And I know that it's really hard, but there is a light at the end of this tunnel, and we just have to keep digging in.
Good. I also want to know, did your daughter call out any people for wearing wrong masking, not over the nose this week? Because that always makes me feel good, too.
Not recently, but she has actually discovered, like many of us have discovered, all I want for Christmas is you. And so she closes her door and sings it at the top of her lungs with wild abandon. And that is what is bringing me joy this week.
That's great. That's Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Thank you for speaking with us again today, and stay safe.
Thanks so much, Heidi. Take good care.
You too. This broadcast, a collaboration of community radio stations throughout the state in partnership with Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota Communities and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association. Listen to the full conversation, KEXE.org. Send us your questions, COVID@ampers.org, or call 612-562-9895. I'm Heidi Holton for KEXE, KBXE. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.